Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk about overwhelm. Because overwhelm is something many of us get when maybe we're thrown too much stuff all at once, or we're thrown a bunch of ideas and told to work it out, or given a very incomplete picture that leads to stress and frustration and everything in between. So we're going to talk a bit about that today because I had an experience of this and I was the one overwhelming someone. So I thought it was about time to talk about it with you guys. So let's dig into today's episode. Okay, I get this a lot from the audience asking me about how do I deal with overwhelm? How do I deal with just feeling like there's too much pressure on me? That I literally sit there in anxiety, fretting about it, worrying about everything I need to do, and instead of chipping away at it one piece at a time, I just can't bring myself to do anything. Now, sadly, I'm going to say this, but I still get this feeling to today. It comes over you when everyone decides to ring you at the same time, or maybe you're at work and your boss tells you to do something. And then your wife or husband tells you to do something. And then, you know, you've got to do something with the kids. And then all this stuff starts to pile up. And all you can feel is like, I don't know how to prioritize this. I don't know what to do next. I feel I'm just going to be a failure to everybody. So we kind of freeze. Some of us fight, some of us freeze. Personally, I'm a freezer when that happens. I used to have a bit more fight, but I see myself, when this happens to me, just kind of sitting in this kind of, it's a body numbness kind of feeling, where you're like, there's so much on, I'm not going to do anything, okay? And, you know, I've had this feeling on and off for years. Doesn't come back to me as much as usual, and now I have a better tool set to recognize it and deal with it. But like even just talking about it for the podcast, I feel like I'm bringing my body back into that zone, right? Because it's very, I want to say the word visceral. Is that the right word? It's a very all-encompassing feeling on who you are. It sometimes feels so overpowering. It feels like there's nothing you can do to get past it. You know, have you had that feeling? Have you felt that before? Sometimes it's at home, sometimes it's at work. And you just become, I don't want to say useless, but you feel useless, or I usually do, where I feel like, how can I not just do the next thing, okay? And I was, you know, the reason this podcast episode is existing right now is I was doing a coaching session today, chatting with one of my clients. She's absolutely awesome, and going through a process for her business. I won't go into the details to mix it up a bit, but it's, you know, going through the details of a process. And I started very big picture, and then I started to whittle it down into what needed to happen. And I could see her eyes glazing over a bit. I could see her, you know, she actually very well said to me, I feel very overwhelmed, very clear about her feelings. And that's really helpful when you're training someone. And I noticed what I was doing. I noticed I was throwing too much potential at her all at once. You know, this can be done, this will work, this will happen, da 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 da. There's so many steps involved in this, but I'm going to go really big picture. You know, and I started off painting the dream, which is sometimes really good. But as you paint the dream of something and you come down into the individual details, people can just, you know, it's very hard for them to see the exact same pictures in your head. So when it comes to overwhelm, I find there's two key challenges here. One is communication, and one is prioritization and clarity. And I kind of put those in the same bucket. So, you know, communication is the first thing. So when people are communicating with you and asking you to do stuff, there can be a real sense of overwhelm if someone has just explained the big picture something, given you no detail, but you know that they have very specific tastes or very specific wants. So imagine your boss says, I want you to create this report for this reason and this why. And they just leave it with you. And, you know, if you're lucky, they'll say, I want it in 3 days. You'll then go, okay. And they don't give you any more information. You're kind of sitting there going, oh my gosh, am I going to get this right? I've got a lot of width here to make it the way I need to. But I know they're just going to pick at me if I get it wrong. All this stuff starts going through your head, right? Overwhelm, overthinking, all happens all at the same time. Because the boss in front of you hasn't really communicated what they need. I had one of my team members the other day say this to me, that I am so, that Stephen, is guilty of this a lot. That I'll give people a task, I'll give them a few points, they know what a picky, you know, insert expletive there I can be in a nice way. And, you know, that they just sometimes get, they feel like they get it wrong a lot because the communication hasn't been good enough. I haven't taken the time to paint a proper picture and be clear with them. Okay, so they're getting overwhelmed based on what I'm saying. You know, when the overwhelmee becomes the overwhelmer, right? You know, it's pretty common actually. And so one of the things we decided around communication that would be really helpful for them is to give context on every task or job. Because what can sometimes happen when we're giving out tasks, you know, whether it's at a work setting or a business setting or relationships, kids, a lot of it comes down to context. You know, explaining why we want something and what the outcome is. You know, we can sometimes be very clear about what we want, which maybe is the physical outcome, but context is why we want it, or what's the purpose of the what. You know, so I could ask, you know, if I said, I want a report on last year's sales, to be very basic, okay? I want a report on last year's sales between this date and that date, okay? That is what I'm asking for. So someone could go away, they could do that and create it based on the limited knowledge they have about what I want, and they could go and make a decision. And so when you're, if you're dyslexic and you get given orders like that, you've probably gone away, you've probably been quite creative with it, you've created something pretty funky and cool, and you give it back to the boss and they go, that's not what I was thinking. Do it again, but I want this, this, and this, right? And so over time, the repetitive mistakes, you know, just lead into building this overwhelm, this miscommunication. Whereas as a boss, if I'd said that exact same thing, but I'd given context saying, I have to look at the sales numbers for last year. I'm really interested in gross profit. I'm trying to use it to decide what our budget is for next year, to how many employees we can hold. I'm just making this up, but you get the point. If I'm telling a story about why I want something, it actually makes the output easier. It makes it clearer for the team member or family member that gets it, and they can make better quality decisions. And so I truly believe communication is a massive cause of getting overwhelmed. And again, I think dyslexics are usually, we experience a lot of this overwhelm, but we also can be as guilty of painting half the picture when passing tasks on. So it's very important to remember you know, when we're making this, we make this mistake as much as we absorb it. And it's something we can be quite empathetic with because we've experienced it. We kind of get it when other people experience it, right? And so if you add the context into when you're tasking something or you're being tasked something, you know, ask them, why do you want that? And say, it helps me paint a picture of what I'm doing. And get people into the habit of using that, even if it's a family member. You know, a friend told me a great story where they had a teenager and they said, do the dishes. That's the what. And the teenager goes, no, I don't want to do the dishes. That's how teenagers sound in my brain. And, you know, but if the mother had said, I want you to do the dishes because your friend Larry is coming around and I'm going to be cooking you guys dinner. And so I want to put it on, you know, we need the plates or whatever is needed. Then the teenager goes, oh, okay, I get that. You're doing something for me. Yeah, I get the context and boom, done. There's a reason behind it. And you find that with dyslexics especially, we need reason and purpose. It's a massive, massive thing for us. Without it, you know, our motivation is even more limited and our desire as well. So it's really important. That's a big key part of overwhelm that I see a lot. You know, and so it is important. The other thing as well is, you know, trying to move too fast, and I see this as well, you know, in this, is we're always moving at such a pace when it comes to this, comes to overwhelm. It's, our brains are just running so quickly that we just can't get it right all the time. And when we've got all these different pieces and then we try and apply prioritization, to it, which is already a natural challenge when we're throwing 5, 6, 7, 8 things at once. Some may be due tomorrow, some today, some you don't have a date. And it gets freaking overwhelming, right? And, you know, when you've got all that stuff in front of you and you lack the ability to prioritize, you feel shocking. You know, I created to-do list bingo for this case, and I use it. Like, I can't share it often because it's got private information on it, but I'll share the course link in the podcast. But it's something that has worked for me so much because, you know, when we've got all this stuff stuck in our head, there's no chance of us prioritizing it. It just doesn't work. And over the years, I've honestly found that to get out of overwhelm, I have to learn to prioritize better, and I have to learn to make decisions that could be wrong. And that's the key lesson, decisions that could be wrong. By getting everything out of my head in the morning of what I need to do, and then putting it in a framework that I can easily see and make decisions on what are my top 9 priorities, I'm able to know if I'm winning the day or not. I'm also able to know if I'm going to push things to the next day, the next week, or so forth, because I've made decisions. Now, are there days where I miss some stuff out that might have been important? 100%. Are there days when I get more done than I needed to? Again, 100%. But what stays true is having a very clear set of priorities each day and being clear with how I list them out. Because the worst thing we can do is live by other people's priority lists, right? It doesn't work. You know, it's usually a lack of self-confidence that makes us work like that, or a lack of us setting boundaries. And that's a whole nother podcast, right? Should do another one on boundaries. It's a challenge for all of us. But when we're getting thrown all of these juggling balls at the same time and we're trying to keep them up in the air, you know, it's tough. So we've got to work out a better way of doing it, right? And so getting it out of your head, having your own system for prioritization is super key, because if you don't have it, then you will fail. You cannot hold the stuff in your head however much you think. And this doesn't mean writing pages and pages of notes, but it is about getting enough out of your head that it doesn't overwhelm you, which is the whole point of the podcast, right? Like, I personally use an A3 pad. I get one of those ones with no lines, not a line fan, create my own lines if I need them, and build a flow that works for me. As I say, I'll put a link to Do List Bingo in the podcast notes. But all I would say, when it comes to overwhelm, really think about communication. 2, get it out of your head. You know, get it out of your head. Get it onto paper somehow. And 3, build a prioritization system that works to your rules. You know, I've built one in To-Do List Bingo. It's the way I've used, and it's worked well for me and others. But it's all about how can you build a system that allows you to own control of it. Does that make sense? Like, there's a heap of stuff in your day that's routine. You know what's coming up, right? That's clear. But with the stuff that's not routine, how do you layer it so it gets done, but also gets done in a way that isn't going to blow your mind? Again, so take time with that. Think through this, because you can succeed with this. It takes a bit of work, but I promise you, getting your communication right, starting to prioritize a little bit better each day will be a game changer. That's been Stephen from The Truth About Dyslexia. Have an epic rest of your day.